Hi everyone, Sameen here. This video is brought to you by a donation from Fat Cat, and here's what she's got to say. Hello, Sameen. I'm going to explain the trolley dilemma for those who don't know about it. In one of my university classes, I was asked who I would save in the trolley dilemma. A family member or a complete stranger. It is known that I'm from a very large family, and I was asked if I would choose to save my sisters. Here's an example of the trolley dilemma for those curious what I'm talking about. You've probably seen this meme before, where you choose to run over one person and end them, or you choose to end over a different bunch. My classmates were shocked when I told them that I would let the trolley run over one of my sisters, the one I didn't like, instead of a perfect stranger. I value my sisters differently, so to me it does matter. I have one sister that I would save her life even if it cost the lives of 1,000 people, and not lose any sleep over it. As for another one of my sisters, well, it's hard to find any reason for me to pick her over the complete stranger. Sandman, this is the same sister you said I was being mean to when I locked her out of the house. So why the difference, and why does blood relation not factor in with my sisters? The answer is simple for me at least. Self-preservation. I have a sister I can rely on and trust to not stab me in the back, even when it's not needed. In the trolley example, I wouldn't put it past her to complain about how I wouldn't save her. Knowing I'm going to regret saving her is not exactly helpful. Not being helpful is one thing, but she actively sabotages me. Help from that evil sister means it benefits her somehow. I'm better off trying my luck with complete strangers. As for the other sister in my family, she's helped me out in the past. If she pushes me off a cliff, it's because I'm scared to jump on my own. Something she literally did. You're right about women sharpening their claws as they get older. I've done this with people before and I regret nothing. I don't have to tolerate people who are actively trying to make my life harder. Funny how I don't see you doing any of that. There is a lot that I don't even know about you, but I have no problem picking you over my sister. The thing is, I know it would just be in my best interest. I think people overvalue blood relatives, and it's expected to some extent. So why have we not evolved to a point of some middle ground? Have a nice day. Well, Fat Cat, thanks for the donation, as well as another verbal diarrhea-filled topic request. I'm sure that no one minds that I cut out most of the irrelevant stuff you were talking about. Isn't it quite clear why you would let your so-called evil sister perish while allowing the good one to survive? When it comes down to it, it's all about self-interest for you. She makes you suffer. If she's gone, then she stops being a pain in the neck, and your life improves. Letting her perish, your subconscious probably played things out in your mind. Plus, all those people that wouldn't die because you choose to sacrifice your sister instead would be grateful to you, and feel sympathy for you for losing your sister. So you'd get their worship and attention. You've proven that your blood relatives aren't important to you if they don't treat you in a positive way. That's all. I told you years ago that I dreamt of my brother's death, and I prevented it. Maybe I'm Darth Plagueis or something, and you're Darth Sidious with a slit. In many ways, he treated me the way that your evil sister treated you, and I still decided to save his life. I could have just sat back and watched that metaphorical trolley roll right over him. I would have standed to inherit a bunch of money, have a family out of guilt because he was gone, and that would have led my eczema to get really, really bad. And I never would have figured out what was going on with me until I was an old man and suffered through it my entire life. I never would have gone my own way. I never would have started my channel, traveled the world, made boatloads of money off Bitcoin, and hopefully end up working on my sex bots. I certainly wouldn't have run into you, nor would I have helped thousands of men in their lives over the last 11 or 12 years. I never for a moment even thought about throwing my brother under the bus, or trolley in this case. I could have, but I didn't. The trolley dilemma is a moral dilemma. If it's a family member involved, then it becomes a Machiavellian one. It means stabbing your own family member for power. Then again, imagine the moral dilemma I would have felt letting him die knowing that I could have stopped it. I never thought of it that way before. Regardless of if you believe in God the creator of the universe, or God the programmer for living in a simulation, I believe moral dilemmas are tests to see if we're worthy of even greater tests. If you can handle them, then I believe you get even more challenging ones. That's what life appears to be, a series of tests. Your classmates saw the world in black and white and would have let their family members live while letting perfect strangers perish, because that's what you're supposed to do because it's socially acceptable. Is it NPC behavior, or do they genuinely care about their family members? As I've stated, the real test is being punished by a family member your entire life, only to then save their life, with no guarantees that your life will improve. What's even more strange about that whole encounter was that a few years later, I was getting up in the morning one day, and I heard a voice tell me that I should have let him die. It was a voice that was both real and non-real at the same time. That same day, my parents gave him a loan to buy a house, part of the same money that I would have received to get my life started. I never really told anyone about that before, and I almost completely forgot about it. The weird thing about messing with timelines by dreaming about what's going to happen and then altering it means you're changing the course of history, especially if you believe in the butterfly effect, and all it takes is a butterfly on the other side of the world to flap its wings, and a few years later a hurricane forms on the other side of the world because of it. It's only once physics starts to break down do really weird things start happening to us. These days, if I was faced with the trolley experiment, I wouldn't look at who I love or strangers with regards to who I choose to live. I would let those live who had the greatest positive impact on the world going forward, because that positivity would be paid forward and pay dividends. How do you know that one of those perfect strangers isn't going to be the next Mr. Stalin or Mr. Mustache? Those would be the types of questions I would ask about the random people tied to the railway tracks, like these women in this video. Grok AI still can't get their eyes right, but it's definitely getting better with time. It's easy to run people over with a train when they aren't even real. But getting back to your moral dilemma, Fat Cat, what could be some possible ulterior motives for saying this? You could be saying in a more creative way that you aren't like all the other women out there, and even people in general. You could be trying to gain my trust. It's possible that you want to point out that you're a unique and special snowflake that behaves in a way that's virtuous. So many possible reasons, and as a man, when a woman does something, I think of all the possible motives, and I think of them as Schrodinger's reasons. Any possible explanation a woman has for actions could be the real one. Usually it's the one that leads to the most positive outcome for her. And if you call around and say that she's doing this or that, that's when she says no, she's doing it for another reason. And she makes you think you're a fool by explaining the wrong reason. I'm so tired of women playing such games. You gave us all some good reasons why you would run your sister over with the trolley train. But are they real reasons? I don't know and I don't care because it's not going to impact my life, knowing the truth or not knowing it. Women always seem to have a dozen reasons for why they're doing something, and they're just waiting for a man to be stupid enough to point out one of those reasons, so they can say he's stupid because she has a different reason for doing it. I just think that all of a woman's reasons are valid and invalid at the same time. Fat Cat, the reason you shared this answer about your classroom about being willing to sacrifice your sister could have all been about being a shit disturber and trying to get attention from your classmates. If that's the case, then it's a penny one but understandable how much women love attention, which is their drug of choice. I don't know what else I can say, so I'm going to end this video with my quick thoughts about the Bitcoin market recently. Looks like there's a good chance it's either going to go up really high or crash by the time you're listening to this. If it drops below 70 and stays there for a few weeks, or closes the month out at that price, then I'm out. If it gets to 92 or 93, then I'm pretty much out as well. But then if it gets to 115, I'm going to buy back in. The markets in general have been crashing, and I got out of big tech last summer. And as of today, the big tech fund I got out of is 7% lower than when I got out of it. Financially, I was aiming for the stars, but I ended up hitting Saturn. I'll take that as a victory, but I just want people to understand that your greatest enemy when you buy and hold Bitcoin is deciding to when to take profits, and accept that you'll never sell at the top. Be happy if you can sell at 15 to 20% away from the top. If it gets below 60,000, I'll short it. Again, if it gets into the low 90s, I'm going to sell it, and if it makes higher highs, then I'll buy back in. I might miss some of the gains, but it's better than getting all those losses. If I get out right now at the mid-80s, I've got life-changing money, and I have enough capital to deploy at a later date. And if I redeploy during a crash and see a modest 2 or 3x return, then I've got real FU money. It's like I'm playing a game show and I've won a big prize. And I'm trying to figure out if I should just get out while I'm ahead or if I should risk half of what I currently have to double what I currently have. Bitcoin in the longer term is the master asset, unlike other crypto tokens, which are garbage and people are starting to lose faith in them. I'll buy back in, but I trust the calls from Steve over at Crypto Career University. That guy's been giving it to me straight about what's going on and has been making accurate call after accurate call. I still end up walking away in the end with a decent profit because I bought in early. But most people in this market up until now haven't made very much or are down from buying meme coins. It's not Trump's fault with tariffs. It's just part of the market cycle. Anyways, that's it for today. Thanks again to Fat Cat for the donation and topic. Don't forget to smash the like button the way that Fat Cat was willing to let a trolley train smash her sister in half to save a complete stranger. Bang the bell and check out the mystery link. Follow me on BitChute, Twitter, and Facebook to get tomorrow's video today. Subscribe to me on Minds, Odyssey, MGTOW.TV, and Rumble to get the video for the day after tomorrow. This channel's been demonetized, and if you want to help me keep making content, then please support me through Subscribestar. There's a link to it in the description. Or you can do an hour-long coaching chat with the Sandman for $45 US, and I won't rush you out the door like a cheap whore. Thanks for taking your daily dose of red pills, and remember, a red pill a day keeps the state from trying to outlaw single men away. So enjoy the rest of your day, and cheers.